Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Dobrý večer and welcome to the Bohemian Podcast with Pete Coleman and Travis Dow.
Good evening and welcome to the Bohemian Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Coleman.
And I'm Travis Dow from Africa, a history. Did I surprise you? I surprised you, didn't I?
You did. That was great.
All right, sorry.
It is not uncommon these days to start seeing a commercial push for the Christmas holidays in mid-October, of course. This is true not only in America, but it's also in various other regions in the world, including the Czech Republic. Back in North America, the run-up to the holiday season usually is kicked off by the Canadian Thanksgiving on the second Monday of October or the American Thanksgiving on the last Thursday of November. Family, friends, and good food are all focal points to these celebrations. Yet we have something similar here in the Czech Republic as well. It's called St. Martin's Day, or known as Martinmas. Tonight we will walk you through these traditions, instruct you on how to cook a St. Martin's Day goose, and provide you a seat at the table for a young wine and roasted goose celebration in downtown Prague.
November 11th is the day to celebrate St. Martin's Day, and it has many of the traditions we Americans would associate with Thanksgiving. It focuses on the completion of the autumn season and the final harvest of the year, drinking the young wine from the vineyards and enjoying roasted goose, like you mentioned. After this point of the autumn, the days are shorter, nights longer and colder, and the Christmas season approaches. But why is this day associated with St. Martin? And who was St. Martin?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Travis. The cult of St. Martin has a background dating back to the Roman Empire. Known to the Holy Church as a friend of children and a patron saint to the poor, Martin's beginnings were forged in battle and tempered later in life with good works.
Ich gehe mit meiner Laterne. No? No? Und meiner Laterne mit mir.
The German version?
I grew up in Germany, but St. Martin was born in 316 AD as Martin of Tours. His father was a pagan Roman senior officer in the Roman province's Upper Pannonia, which is in present-day Hungary, and forced Martin to become a soldier as early as the age of 15. Legend has it that on a cold, dark night, Martin encountered a half-naked beggar who asked him for alms. However, Martin had no money on him, and as he wanted to protect the beggar against the cold, he cleaved his coat into two halves and gave one to the beggar. The following night, Christ appeared in front of him, dressed in one half of the coat. It is likely that this apparition caused Martin to be christened at Easter 339 and to decide to devote his life to God. However, he could not leave his army until another 15 years. That's the Roman, if you're legionary. And later he reached the rank of officer. He was named Bishop of Tours in 372, but continued to lead the life of a monk in a hut by the Loire River where the Marmoutier Abbey was founded later. St. Martin died at the age of 81, near Tours in 397. He is the patron saint of soldiers, horses, riders, geese, which are also delicious, and winemakers. Most often he is depicted on horseback with his half coat and the beggar.
And Travis, it was understood that he was a very kind man who led a very quiet and simple life. The day that bears his name was set to be placed as St. Martin's Day on November 11th, with the origins in France. Then it spread to the lower countries, and then the British Isles, Germany, Scandinavia, and Eastern Europe. It is celebrated at the end of the Agrarian year and at the end of the harvest, as you mentioned, Trav. Bishop Perpetus of Tours, who died in 490, ordered fasting from 3 days a week from the day after St. Martin's Day on November 11th. It would seem similar to the 40 days of fasting or so in the spring for Lent. This period of fasting was later shortened and called Advent by the church. So you can see that St. Martin's Day has a very big influence onto the lead up to Christmas, right?
Yeah, because I don't think Advent's another thing that we've mentioned on several other of the Bohemian Christmas episodes. That was a big deal growing up. Every Sunday, lighting that candle on the Advent wreath, you know, there was four candles. That was like a big deal. You could go to Mass or church every Sunday, and or every time you went to church or Mass on that Sunday, they would mention it's the second Advent, the third Advent. And there's a long tradition that goes with that. So, yeah, anyways, that didn't start as a Christmas tradition. It started as a St. Martin fasting tradition. So to note, the Czech lands are not alone in this early November celebration of St. Martin, like you mentioned, France and Germany and others. The Germans, Danes, English, Scots, Estonians, Poles, Swedes, Dutch, Spaniards, Sicilians, just to name a few, they all partake in similar traditions on November 11th. Besides the young wines and roasted goose, many European nations have their children parade through the streets with homemade lanterns, or Laterne in German, and some have St. Martin himself appear atop of a horse. The color of the horse is pretty important, as we will get to in a few moments. The connection binding these nations together on this day would be basically through their Catholic traditions. Like, I grew up in Bavaria, which is a very Catholic sort of part of Germany. And the story of St. Martin like you mentioned, originated from France. Now, like many of these Christian traditions, local and regional customs were interwoven into these observant days, okay? So as the Catholic St. Martin tradition spread, it would be Germanified or Czechified or whatever. I do remember this from my childhood. Like, yep, the lantern.
Yeah, connections.
I guess that's the thing is, in the States, you separate church and state more. Because in Germany, we had a crucifix hanging above the door, even though it was a state-run public school, and you'd say the Lord's Prayer, I guess, every morning, and then like 90% of the kids would cross themselves and 10% wouldn't, because, you know, and some wouldn't say anything at all. Yeah. But for St. Martin's Day, you bet, like we'd sit there in class and we'd make these paper lanterns. And to this day, I wonder why I didn't see more of them just burst into flame. Because it's paper lanterns, and then you just put a tea light, you know, candle in it. And you go up the streets and sing. Meine Laterne mit mir, oben leuchten die Sterne und unten leuchten wir.
I got a feeling we're going to have some listeners that are going to want you to actually do that so they can, like, record it, you know, and they can play it in their cars on their way to work.
The thing is that it's way longer, and I don't remember the rest. So I just
yeah. I was going to say, it's way longer, so if you can buckle up, I'm going to sing all seven verses.
That's right. You got 15 minutes. The long version is
goodness. Yeah. Well, Travis, you've mentioned all these different nations that kind of deal with this, not only Germany, but Czech Republic. You've got Scandinavia. You've got, the Spaniards. You've got a little bit of the Mediterranean. A lot of people, because we're talking, you know, fourth century, that was so influential at this point. Just to give you a couple examples from some of these places that I found during the research that was kind of interesting. You know, in Belgium, in some areas, there's a traditional goose meal that, like we have here in Czech Republic. There's in West Flanders, there's no specific meal that's really set in place. There are other areas more for children to be kind of brought into the tradition with toys brought on the night of the 10th to the 11th, sort of like a mini Christmas at the east part of the Belgian province of West Flanders, especially near Ypres. There's children receive presents from either their friends or family, as opposedly for coming from Saint Martin himself. So if you can imagine what it's like here on, I think it's the 5th of December, which is Saint Nicholas Day, where Saint Nicholas will give you some presents to kind of get you revved up for the Christmas holiday. Saint Martin does that for the folks over in Belgium.
That's not as cool as December 15th, which is Saint Travis Day, who's the patron saint of Legos.
Okay. before we go into the next thing, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this too. For the folks in Belgium, they also kind of incorporate a little bit what we see on Halloween, because some of the kids go door to door singing traditional songs, kind of like the ones you were taught.
Yeah.
But they're sporting this hollowed out beetroot that's carved with a face and a little baby candle inside. So they go up there and they kind of sing and they ask for either sweets or things like that. And then when they're all done, they take their little candles to a giant bonfire where they throw them in, and then they all later on eat pancakes.
Nice.
Which is awesome. This is just an awesome idea, right?
Shouldn't it be waffles?
It should be waffles, as in
Belgian waffles. Is that racist to assume that?
I don't know what that is, but they're known for their French fries as well, so you can also incorporate that.
Okay.
But but that was kind of a nice little story. I'm going to give it over to you, where you can kind of give more of a goodier version of what's going on during St. Martin's Day.
Right. So swap the beetroot for sacrificing roosters. You bleed it. The blood is collected and sprinkled on the four corners of the house. Not, you know, switch gears a little bit here. Now, also in Ireland, there's no wheel of any kind was to turn on St. Martin's Day, meaning, like, don't jump in your car and go to the store. Why? Because Martin was thrown into a mill stream and killed by the water wheel. And so it was not right to turn any kind of wheel on that day.
So, well, let me get this straight.
Because that would be a trigger.
He lived to the age of 81 years old, and then someone threw him into a mill wheel to basically martyr him, so he became a saint. As far as the Czech people are concerned, we do things that are, you know, very straight traditional when it comes to this. We've got our St. Martin's Day feast, which is a run-up to Advent, the roasted goose, which is usually found in restaurant menus, and young wine from the recent harvest, which is kind of a newer tradition, so to speak, to have, you know, the young wine come in as kind of like a tasting test.
Yeah, it's
sweet. You know, they're only about 3 weeks old. Yeah, it's only about 3 weeks old, so it's not fermented yet.
It's so dangerous. Yeah. Well, but it is alcoholic, and it's still – and because it's so sweet, like, it's just a guaranteed headache / hangover. And it's wine tasting, like you mentioned. It's not like you have one. It seems to be that you go around trying different ones. So
it's good. Yeah, in the wine shops and restaurants around Prague, they pour the first of the St. Martin's Day wines around 11 a.m. And many restaurants will offer special menus for the day featuring these traditional roast goose and wine tasting. So, you know, I had a chance to take part in a feast, and I really like to get our listeners to kind of join us in on this one, because I went out with some of our buddies from work, and, you know, it was really an enjoyable night, and it was kind of a pre-Thanksgiving feel to the whole thing, where we all just went out as a bunch of expats that are kind of missing our normal November celebrations back home in the States. You know, that would be associated with Thanksgiving, but we got a little taste of it here in Prague.
So it's St. Martin's Day, and we are actually in Kolkovna restaurant here in Prague, downtown Prague near Wenceslas Square, having assorted meats and cabbage and great things. Daryl, I work with you, Daryl, and you're a fellow American, Californian, so be it. But we talk about St. Martin's Day, we're talking about goose, we're talking about young wine, we're talking about kind of like the Czech Thanksgiving is kind of what I kind of take it as. What did you have to eat tonight to kind of honor some of that?
Nothing. I had typical American food. I had ribs, man, with great drink.
Great drink. Oh, that's my Daryl. Oh, Daryl. So in your house, and you got a little boy in your house, what do you do for Christmas when you kind of merge
Czech and American traditions together?
Well, I try to keep it as an American kind of tradition. But I try to respect what my woman, you know, and you know, her culture does. For me, Christmas is more about kids than it is about anything else. So, I mean, as long as he's happy, he's enjoying himself, I've done my job.
But, you know, we're seeing a lot of people enjoying time here. We talk about the young wine, which is like the really wine that's only 3 weeks old or so. It's not a lot of alcohol to it. It's not a very full-bodied wine. But it's a young wine, as they say, and it goes well with the goose and some of the dumplings. I got to tell you, man, I am absolutely full, exhausted from eating right now.
You haven't even finished your plate. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you know, it's impossible to separate this feast or to hold this feast without a well-fed and roasted St. Martin's goose. Usually served with bread or potato dumplings, those famous knedlik we keep talking about, and red cabbage. By the way, the goose is associated with two legends. One says that the goose is eaten because geese disturbed St. Martin's sermons, and that is why they are now punished on the pan. The other legend holds that Martin was so modest that he concealed himself in a goose house to avoid his appointment as a bishop. But the cackling of the geese gave him away.
So therefore, we eat the geese.
I like the idea of like revenge. Like how dare, and also how arbitrary that is. Like the French are probably like, oh, you know, one day the frogs were too loud. That's why we eat frog legs.
There is a revenge factor in that first. Yeah, the first legend is a revenge factor. Sure. You know, the St. Martin's Day table would not be complete without the traditional rolls filled with poppy seeds or plum jam. And of course, some of the above mentioned red wine that we talked about, the young wines, which is an excellent accompaniment to the Czech cuisine. You know, St. Martin's Day menu is really dominated by goose, but you could use other things too. I mean, you can have a duck if you want to go that direction if you like, but there's also something called kaldun, which is a very special soup with goose giblets and other famous goose liver. Yeah, maybe even a little pate would be part of that. Traditionally, roast goose used to be made of with caraway and cabbage, which is, you know, a recipe that you can find from place to place here, especially at some grandmother's kitchen, so to speak. According to another old Bohemian recipe, goose can also be stuffed with apples for a bit of that sweetness to come with.
Yeah.
So, Trav, you hosted, and I have to say this because your parties were epic when you hosted a bunch of us expats to come over to your place for Thanksgiving dinner in late November. And you made just the best turkey. So I think as the connoisseur of roasted meats that you are, I would like you to take our listeners through a step-by-step process on how to prepare goose for St. Martin's Day.
All right. So first of all, you need a big enough oven because these geese can get I mean, it is kind of like just like turkey size, I guess. So Americans should be used to it. But yeah, it's a big bird. Okay, so first of all, wash the goose, make sure it's all clean from the outside as well as the inside. Sprinkle it with salt and caraway, like you mentioned, inside and out, and let it cool sort of overnight. You just let it sit. Take it out 3 hours before roasting. Let it sit to come to room temperature. Let it go ahead and, you know, warm up that high. And then preheat the oven to 130 degrees centigrade. Place the salted goose in a casserole, breast side down, and baste with water up to 1/4 of the casserole. Now, you cover that with a lid and you put it in the oven. You roast it for around 3 hours, and during that time, you check it, you turn the goose several times. You know, you make sure you get it roasted from both sides. Always, when you're done checking it and turning it, cover it back with the lid, because you don't want the goose to dry out, okay? So, and also, you know, you like what we did with our famous turkey is you just keep basting it over and over.
A lot of attention, right? A lot of attention.
Yeah, it's a labor of love, definitely. Now, my wife, the famous, if you want to know the secret sauce, so to speak, of our Thanksgiving turkey, and I think the same would go for this goose, is she tucks little pieces of butter along with, like thyme and garlic and onion and everything. But she makes little tiny incisions and tucks it into the skin so that it kind of melts and gets all over the place as it, and, you know, infuses as it cooks. Is that now? Okay, now I'm hungry. This between this and our last episode of Francis Bacon and saying bacon 50 million times. Okay, anyways, after 3 hours of roasting, you garnish the goose with slices of apples, rosemary, and continue roasting for another 40 minutes. Give it time for those flavors to kind of soak in. And the apples, again, you know, help keep it wet, moist, keep it juicy.
Ugh, yeah.
Finally.
You hold on.
You had to make it weird.
Could you have said any more words that most people just don't like to hear?
Okay.
Moist and juicy.
I think about that too. I had to really, and then you let the words simmer in your mind.
Okay.
Right. After the 40 minutes of after you put in the apples and rosemary, you crank it up one last time. Crank up the heat to around 170 centigrade for the last 20 minutes or so. You take the lid off, and this kind of it does dry out the skin, but that's what you want at this point. It makes the skin really nice and crispy. And then you remove it from the oven, let it rest before serving, let it all cool and just kind of chill for a while. I mean, even up to a half hour or so, I'd say, and cut, slice, serve.
It's you know, the smell of that in the kitchen, or basically your whole house, it's just epic. And you know, you don't mind if you're visiting someplace where someone's cooking like a big bird like this in the oven, that you when you go home, you smell it in your clothes. You're like, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, it's just a very comforting feeling to smell, you know, this type of cooking, especially during the holiday season, for sure. So we talked about a lot of the traditions, but we haven't really got into some of the stuff that deals with what maybe the kids will listen to when they want to take part in St. Martin Day's festivities. And one of those traditions deals with the horse on which St. Martin rides upon when he comes into your town. So one of the fun traditions here is waiting for what color the horse is that St. Martin will be riding on come November 11th. Children will gather in most of these little Czech town squares across the Republic awaiting St. Martin's arrival, and that would foretell if it's going to be a warm or snowy winter, especially with the hope for Christmas Day.
Yeah.
If
he sees his shadow and runs back the way he came.
Wrong holiday.
Okay. So sorry. I'm so sorry.
If he sees his shadow, we're going to have another global warming winter here where we don't really have
more ice caps melt.
Any snow, actually. Yeah. And on a serious note, we haven't had hardly any snow in Prague in the past 5 years. So it is definitely a warmer climate for sure these days. One of the bigger and more well-known celebrations on November 11th is held at the heart of the Czech Republic in an ancient town called Jihlava. And known as the silver mining town of the medieval Bohemia, Jihlava really conducts one of the all-out celebrations for the entire republic on St. Martin's Day. It is one of the bigger town squares, I think the biggest town square in the republic. And as soon as the sun sets, excuse me, and as soon as the sun sets in late afternoon, the townsfolk start making their way to the square. And St. Martin comes running, comes galloping up on his horse. Young wine is served along with a hot mulled wine for those trying to stay warm that night. And children with lanterns gather and sing songs in the hopes to see St. Martin on his horse. Now, if St. Martin comes on a white horse, then there will be snow on Christmas Day. However, if St. Martin comes on a dark horse, there will be no snow on Christmas Day.
I'm dreaming of St. Martin coming on a white horse.
Is that your Bing Crosby? That's
just
really bad.
Just like, it's a cinnamon.
is this frustrating you? Because here's what's really frustrating to me. No one has ever told me what happens if the horse is speckled. If it's a black horse with white spots, or if that exists, or a white horse with black spots. What does that mean?
You know that one time. You know that one time it rained fish in Nuremberg. Well, Martin came in on a speckled horse.
That's right. That's what happened.
That's what happened.
Okay, so you know, when we speak of children, there's also a pretty big place for them during these festivities for St. Martin celebrations. And one of them you mentioned before, Travis, had to deal with children's lanterns, right? So school children spend the week leading up to the 11th, you know, constructing paper or metal lanterns with various designs. Normally, these homemade lanterns will just last for that night.
Yeah.
As the very small, you know, tea-like candles burn down and maybe burn up the lanterns quite a bit, but give a little bit of light and making a beautiful scene cutting through the cold, dark night of November. You know, my son Nathaniel has taken part in these ceremonies at Bilahora Park in Prague ever since he was in kindergarten. And the younger children make their way up the hill mm-hmm. with the lanterns in hand to meet St. Martin himself, a Roman soldier on top of a horse. And sweets are handed out, you know. And my son, I asked him if he could tell us a little bit about what that experience was like. You know, he's getting to be, you know, the older end of that spectrum that will, I think this is the last year that he's doing it. But he got to take part in it this year and making his own lantern and seeing St. Martin on the horse, of course, and the sweets that were kind of hidden around the top of the mountain there that the kids had to go looking for with their lanterns as their only light. So if we can, let's go to that audio.
Well, first, the whole school meets down the hill, and we sing St. Martin's songs. We light up our lanterns, and we start walking up the hill. And then we come to a tree, and then we see him come down to the kids. He waves his sword and then he walks up the hill and goes away.
Now, these lanterns are a nice touch. Each one is individually designed with a candle holder in the center and a sturdy handle on the top so they can walk through. And my son this year actually did a kind of a neat little poppy design. He had a metal can that he would take a nail through and he would, you know, poke these little holes so the light would come out. Yeah. So it was kind of a neat design. And if you don't know, my son goes to a Waldorf school. So they're like, you know, epic stars when it comes to craft work. Uh-huh. So, you know, that's pretty much what they're doing. So he was able to really kind of make this look pretty awesome. And what was really kind of cool is because he actually listens to what I say when we're driving in the car, when I drive him to school in the morning. You know, we talked about November 11th is also Armistice Day, which is what we celebrate, you know, the end of World War One. And one of the things that is a symbolic of that is, of course, the red poppy with the black little center. And so he said, that's what I'm putting on my lantern this year. I said, fantastic.
St. Martin's Day is also the winemaker's feast, like we mentioned, marking, especially in the Czech Republic. And this sort of marks the end of the wine harvest.
I would say that it does well because there's actually, you know, the acidic aspect of the wine kind of helps the digestion. If you've had goose liver before, you know, there's might be a need for an acid after a while. So sometimes does help little bit. Right. But it is a newer thing. And I think it's a way for winemakers to kind of get out there. What they hope is going to be some very mature wine later on, but to give people a taste of what they were able to kind of grow and what they bottled at the beginning, so people can look forward to those mature wines later on. As you said, they're a little bit more sweet. They're the beginning of the fermentation process. I've had them before. It does give you a kind of a massive headache mm-hmm. for me.
Agora podcast of the month is Elias Belhadad's History of Islam. And Pete and I were on the Agora Exchange with Tom Daly. That's the Agora Podcast Network's own podcast feed where you can get a glimpse of podcasters, get kind of a behind the scenes and get to know the podcasters themselves. You know, all history podcasters. So kind of neat stuff. And Pete and I were there. So give that a listen too. Just search for Agora on iTunes or... there's also a link from podcastnik.com.
And really, it's great because having this network of great podcasters is a way for us to reach out to not only their audiences, but to do it vice versa. When we have them on our shows, to introduce you, our listeners, to their great programs that we have on the Agora Network or the Dark Mists Collective. There's just a lot of great stuff out there. And one of the best things about being a podcaster is, once you get really involved, is having this wonderful network of people really doing something that they love, you know, and it is something that we're all interested in doing, our subject matter. And it's just very interesting to hear what drives other people, especially in a history-based podcast or travel or culture-based podcasts. It's just something that we really feed off each other. And we hope that you enjoy listening to these other podcasters that we have in our network. As we come to the end of our show, and now you're full of goose and dumplings and wine, we really need to say goodnight. St. Martin's Day has already come and gone, but there is much to do in the next few weeks as we lead up to Christmas. Because remember, Christmas will be upon us pretty soon as Advent rolls around and St. Nicholas Day approaches in early December. That's something that will be geared up. Everyone's going to be starting gearing up for that immediately coming up on the 5th of December. So until then, we want you to stay warm on these cold and dark nights ahead, and the warmth of the holiday season will soon be here. So until next time on the Bohemian Podcast, for Travis Dow, I'm Pete Coleman saying Dobronuts from Prague.
You have been listening to the Bohemian Podcast with Pete Coleman and Travis Dow. Visit bohemian.com for more information on this episode, other episodes, and much more information about history, traditions, and culture in the Czech Republic. Find us on iTunes, subscribe, and review, and don't forget to rate us. We would love to hear from you. Send comments, ideas, and corrections on our comments page on bohemian.com, or get in touch via Facebook or Twitter. Tune in to our sister podcast, History of Alchemy, which is also on iTunes, or on historyofalchemy.com. Until next time on the Bohemian Podcast, thank you for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.